Hello and welcome to Pards Prep. I'm Brad Potts, the Associate Athletic Director for Peak Performance at Lafayette College. My co-host is Dr. Julie Amato, sports psychologist. Thanks for joining me today, Dr. Julie.
You got it, Brad. I'm excited. I'm fired up.
Yeah, so am I. What we're going to do is we're going to talk about heart rate variability and really just kind of use that as a conduit to go into depth as far as, I think getting our student athletes to understand how important, you know, everything outside of practice and the strength center is, as far as, you know, how they eat, how they sleep. Heart rate variability, simply put, is just basically, I think the best way to describe it is, if your heart rate is 60 beats a minute, I think most people think that it's going to be, you know, one beat per second on that second, where in actuality it's maybe at 0.86 first beat, 0.203 second one, maybe the third one's on the three, but there's variability, you know, in that heart beat from beat to beat. So what that does is kind of gives us a little snapshot into basically the autonomic nervous system. In the autonomic nervous system, you're talking about the sympathetic and parasympathetic. You're talking about fight and flight or rest and digest, you know.
And they say you just know how to lift weights.
That's right. Yeah. I'm not just a pretty face either. That's what you said, right?
That's what
I've had some student athletes ask me about it because it's a inexpensive way of getting them a readiness score. It's a way to, some people might refer to it even as like a biohack. Have you heard that word
No,
before?
I haven't. You're teaching me a lot right now, actually.
It's an internet, bloggers like dream biohack. So a lot of things that could possibly work, you know, and I'm not saying that HRV is, you know, 100% accurate or anything like that, but similar to a lot of the other devices or apps that we use, it's a tool, and it's going to give you some idea as to how recovered you are. And the reason people like it, again, is because it's sort of a one-stop shop, you know. Recovery is highly involved, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, sleep, nutrition, proper training, having the ability to keep up with, all the things around you, having a good social life, spiritually being invested, all those things. But so what heart rate variability does is it can kind of take a lot of those different directions and just give you at least a fairly accurate idea as to how ready you are, your readiness score.
What does that mean, like ready? So like if an athlete's got an HRV score that says that they're ready versus not ready, like how do they use that data?
Well, I mean, it is just that. I know some folks have the app. There's HRV apps. I think those are probably the least reliable. some people have, some people have some smartwatches that have tied in HRV, or there's some sort of algorithm between, their heart rate monitor throughout the day and how they can tie that into HRV. But again, I mean, like we're kind of talking about the same thing in the end of the road, right? Like if you're sleeping enough, if you have a healthy mind and you're, eating right and all these kind of things, like you're going to be recovered, you know? I think where it can hold some value is it can show some of the athletes, student athletes, who are kind of burning the candle at both ends, that eventually it's going to catch up to you, you know? And sometimes people don't always feel that, right? They don't always know, you know, maybe they just feel like they're in a bad mood, or some of those first signs of chronic sleeplessness and things like that. So the HRV score can sort of quantify those things for them, maybe help them work through some sticking points. I think this stuff's been around for a long time. I know that, they've used, things like Omega Wave, I know Whoop uses HRV. I know that Fatigue Science uses HRV. But like the older models, like the Omega Waves and stuff like that, what you were looking at was, and I mean, this is going back to, were you track and field at all?
Believe it or not, Coach Potts, I threw the javelin, shot put, and discus. Does that count?
I believe it.
Yeah.
I believe it.
Yeah.
But so you might or might not be familiar with the name Yuri Zadik. He held the world record in the hammer throw for about 20 years. You know, obviously, to be an Olympic athlete, you're highly in tune with your body. You know, you are putting every effort and resource into recovery. You know, something that's always kind of stuck with me is that they monitored Yuri Zadik after that throw, and Yuri Zadik had a depressed nervous system, central nervous system, and particularly autonomic nervous system, which is just a subset, right, for up to 2 weeks from one throw, one hammer throw.
Wow.
And, I mean, that kind of speaks to the power of the nervous system, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, because Yuri Zadik was not the strongest Olympian. I've been at clinics when I heard his coach, Anatoly Bondarchuk, talk, and wasn't the strongest. I mean, had pretty good form and technique. But what he could do is sort of rise up, you know, and sort of get this highly emotional response, which that's what it is, to be able to get himself to that level, right? To that level to kind of tap into all those different motor unit recruitment and, you know, throughout his body, be able to tap into all that muscle. You know, I always think of the idea of, you know, hopefully you've never seen anybody get shocked real bad.
Thank God I have not.
Like high voltage, but
you
I've
have?
Heard this. I've heard, no, I've heard this example numerous times though, and I think it holds weight. I think it's pretty cool. Like, when you get shocked, your muscles contract and you actually throw yourself, you know, like 10 feet. It's not the voltage throwing you. It's your muscle contraction simultaneously.
That's
so
terrifying.
It is. It is. But it speaks to the power of the nervous system and your ability to sort of tap into those things. And quite honestly, for our kids, for our student athletes, the kids who can tap into that stuff are the kids who are just sort of who train the most, who accumulate the most training, who accumulate the most reps, who are on the court all the time or on the field all the time, because you get to know your body more and more and more, right? You know?
Yep. Yeah, you know, this is really fascinating stuff as it relates to the brain and science and the nervous system. So as I'm thinking here about our athletes, you know, I guess the real question is, you know, how can we maximize and use this information so that we can achieve peak performance consistently? So I don't know if this is just our thinly veiled way of talking about sleep, Coach Potts, but I don't know if this would shock you to know, but studies consistently show that people who sleep less than 8 hours don't perform well on concentration and memory tests, but they report having no deficits in their skills, which is interesting. It's kind of along the lines of what you said earlier. NCAA athletes on average sleep about 6 hours and 15 minutes a night. But what we know is 8 to 9 hours, maybe even closer to 10, is what elite athletes need in order to perform optimally, and I'm guessing to also optimize this HRV score. So the problem is that even though we know this, many of our athletes are sleeping 6 to 7 hours a night, which isn't enough, but they don't really know or appreciate that they're having these deficits in cognitive function and in sort of the ability to perform athletically, so they just keep doing it.
Right.
But what they're really missing out on is another third of potential that they're leaving on the table in terms of just getting better with their sport and in every other capacity of mental wellness. And so even if athletes just committed to sleeping closer to the 8 to 9 hours, my guess is, Coach Potts, and you're more the expert in HRV, this would improve HRV, and I think that's because, you know, I know some neuroscience as well. I'm going to blow your minds here. Look, when you don't get enough sleep, your sympathetic nervous system becomes overly engaged.
Sure.
During the day.
That's it.
Right? So it's that fight or flight response during the day, and it drains you, and it throws this whole HRV thing out of whack. And so that's why, like, LeBron James sleeps 12 hours a night, and Tom Brady infamously goes to sleep at 8:30 or 9
right.
at night.
Yep.
Because they know, like, look, like, we want to be the best at our sport. We know there's ground zero is getting the right amount of sleep.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, No, you're 100% right. And what we know through HRV and other methods is that elite athletes are parasympathetic dominant. They are rest and digest dominant. They have the ability, the unique ability, or acquired maybe ability is probably a better word for it, because I think this stuff is essentially their learned skills, you know. They are parasympathetic dominant. They are rest and digest. But they have the ability to sort of flip the switch. You know, I know that's something that when Coach Garrett got here, he wrote that if you would go through our locker room doors, you would see it. It says flip the switch. And, I mean, I'll preach often to our guys, you know, when they're in their stretch lines and stuff, like, work at that. Like, work at it every day, because the fact of the matter is, like, you don't get to choose when you play. You know, like, if you wake up Saturday morning and you're a football player and you feel terrible, like, you still got to play the game, you know? So, I mean, you know, there is something to kind of gritting through that stuff. I mean, I don't know about you, but, like, what we see here is, first off, you know, you'll see a kid come in, you know, beginning of the year, in season, off season, whatever it is, and they are sort of super optimistic and, like, you know, nothing can really get them down, and really resilient and really engaged and all these sort of things, and you just watch that sort of fade away. You know, and then the unfortunate part is, you know, late October into November for fall sports is when you're playing your league games and they're the most important games, and they're, you know, you're going into Patriot League tournaments and all those sorts of things. And, you know, a lot of times they're just kind of hanging on by a thread, you know. And, I mean, I think that's the biggest takeaway with, I mean, I don't need to really see a readiness score. You know, I can listen to them talk and just have a pretty good idea between that and the weight that they can move in the weight room. I'll know, you know, where they are, you know. I think everybody has different problems. They have different deficits. But I would say if I had to pick one and it was global, I would say it's sleep. Yeah, I would say it's probably one of the biggest problems.
Yeah, I mean, we see this at the beginning of each semester. Like you said, everything's pretty rosy and things are going well. People are high energy, optimistic, ready to go. And part of that is because nothing bad's happened yet.
Yeah.
Playing time hasn't been decided. You haven't accrued many losses. But I think even more so, it really is around the sleep issue. And then, you know, if I had to say something else about just overall mental wellness, look, things start piling up. You know, you've got the academic calendar and exams and all of that stuff. And so if you're not getting the sleep that you need, of course, you're going to begin to fatigue over time. So what we want our athletes to be able to do is, yeah, we want to peak perform in November. Like, that's a time.
Be at your best when it means the
most. Yeah, we've got to be able to do that. And so, you know, sleep's an important way and the best way. But I also think, you know, taking care of your mental wellness by talking about stressors as they occur becomes really important. And then the other piece, and I'll talk about this at the tip of the week at the end here, what are some ways to become more parasympathetic dominant? You know, and so we're throwing around these words, sympathetic, parasympathetic, but essentially sympathetic's fight or flight.
Right.
Parasympathetic is, how do you relax? And as a Lafayette College student, like, I don't see a ton of relaxing place. It's the burning it at both ends, right?
And I've said this before. I've said it to you. I say it to the athletes I work with. Like, I feel like there's a little bit of a badge of honor with that, right?
Yeah.
It's kind of like, you know, like, hey, like, I'm doing a lot. You know what I mean? I never have a break in my day because I am, you know, not only on a sport team, but I'm the director of this club and I'm the, you know what I mean? And it's sort of like this, you know, constant go, go, go. You know, unfortunately, I mean, you have to kind of choose. You have to make decisions at some point in time. And if your athletic career and success is that important to you, and I mean, really, probably your academic success, because it's going to go hand in hand, right?
Yes.
I mean, one thing we do know about HRV is that from 10 o'clock at night till 2 o'clock in the morning is when HRV should be the lowest. The highest. It should have the highest variance, which basically means you are resting, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you're resting and you're relaxing.
How many kids tell you they're in bed 10
I was
going to
say, I would say that most of the time that's when people are maybe just starting to pick up a pencil. And that stuff coincides with circadian rhythms. So it's not just, you know, again, like HRV is just sort of this it's just this biohack. It's this sort of snapshot into, you know, whether you're too dominant in one subset of your central nervous system or not.
We're human beings, not cats.
Right.
Coach Patch, we're not nocturnal.
That's right.
You know, and so these kids need to begin to land the plane sooner and really capitalize on that really important window of time where they could be resting and recovering.
Yeah, I mean, and it's funny because, you know, just through conversation, you know, you kind of stumble upon those things. And it's not, again, it's not hard, you know, I mean, I've been doing it for a while now. It's not hard to look at the kid in the weight room and go, you know, I bet you he or she gets, you know, pretty good rest, kind of has, you know, things together, you know, probably eats pretty well, things like that. And you can easily identify the other kid who isn't. I mean, because, you know, they tend to be sick a lot, injuries pop up. I mean, I would venture to say that injuries mainly stem from sort of some sort of chronic overload or exhaustion, rather than, you know, just a one day sort of acute kind of thing. You know, like it, cognitively, if you're not operating on a fairly high level, I mean, I'm sure you can sort of speak to that.
Yeah, I can. There's data.
It's not gonna work, right?
There's data, Coach Potts, to support that. I mean, there was a study of high school athletes where the risk of injury increased by 68% for those athletes who got less than 8 hours of sleep a night. 68%.
Yeah. No.
That's huge.
I agree. I mean, you never want to say these things, especially before they happen. But like, you know, fatigue science. This is the perfect example. You know, they looked at the Vancouver Canucks. Is that the hockey team?
I think. Yep.
Vancouver Canucks schedule preseason. This is how they broke into the sports world. They looked at it preseason, and solely based off their schedule, they said, one, you need to let the NHL know you are at a competitive disadvantage due to your travel. It's unlike anyone else in the league.
The west to east time change, yep.
Two, these are the games that, and this didn't go to players or anything like that, but it went to management. These are the games you're most likely to lose. And they were like 83%. And when that happened, it kind of blew people's minds.
Yeah, that's
because this is a real thing.
It is.
It's what, I mean, you know, whether you want to address it or not, it's there. And the schools and the teams and the programs that are successful are using it to their advantage. And people are buying into it. So,
well, Coach Potts, this is amazing information that I hope our athletes really utilize and take seriously and commit to. To your point, you know, it becomes about whether you want to commit to make some changes that can help you. Is this a good time, you think, to segue into a tip of the week?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So as we're talking about this stuff and you talk about how elite athletes are more parasympathetic dominant, the tip of the week this week is going to be to teach athletes about activating the parasympathetic nervous system consciously and intentionally every day. So how can you do that? You can take 5 to 10 minutes out of your day, and it would have an impact over time if you did this daily, to engage in slow, deep breathing. So I'm talking about like diaphragmatic breathing that comes from your belly. Okay, so like the tip would be, you know, find a comfortable place to sit in a chair, you know, with your sort of your back straight, and begin, you know, closing your eyes if you want to, but you don't have to. Take in a slow, deep breath. You know, that breath, that inhale should last 3 to 4 seconds. Hold it for a second, and then exhale for 3 to 4 seconds. And you can even place your hand on your, just below your belly button, and kind of notice your stomach expanding as you breathe in and out, and the movement that it kind of falls up and down. This is how infants and babies breathe.
Yeah.
And so that act in and of itself, if you were to do that, engage in some slow deep breathing for 5-10 minutes a day, and just sort of actively engage your parasympathetic nervous system, over time there's great research around how this actually alters brain structure and how this actually allows you to just be more relaxed. And then when you compete in sport and you feel yourself getting too amped up, or just throughout your day if you feel stressed out, you could do this. So you could do this at times you feel stressed. You could just schedule to do it in the morning or at night before you go to bed. You know, you can always make time to do that. And, you know, some people might call it meditation. You know, just focusing inward in the here and now, because we know how crazy your lives are and how easy it is to get into go mode, but
yeah.
We don't take some time to relax very often.
Yeah, and I think it's a great point just from the standpoint of teaching yourself, I mean, because essentially that's ultimately what it's going to have to be anyway, to access it and engage. You know, it's a good point. I mean, it doesn't have to just be inadvertent. You know what I mean? You can intentionally engage the rest and digest, the parasympathetic dominance, to get you sort of to come back down. I mean, because everything's an external stressor, right? I mean, everything. I mean, there's ways to manage those things. You know, you've heard you talk before about just gratitude, you know, kind of having a I get to, not got to attitude, you know?
Absolutely.
I think about that every morning when I take my kids to school,
yeah.
Or each morning I take my kids to school and they're driving
yeah.
me crazy,
yeah.
right? I'm like,
right.
Oh, no, I get to take them to school, you know, right?
Pretty cool.
But in all honesty, like...
Yeah. I get to be a dad.
I struggle otherwise. The easiest thing I do is wake up early in the morning and come in here while they're still sleeping. You know, my wife's up. That's easy. That's
right.
nothing. You
right,
know what I mean?
Right.
Like, wake up early, come in
porn.
Here. Great.
Mm-hmm.
It's
yeah.
easy, you know. But get them ready for school. I can be about out of my mind if I don't sort of just have a perspective and take a few deep breaths each time. So,
great tip.
Yeah, that, it helps a lot. You're right.
All right.
Okay, well, we'll wrap it up. So this is our first PARDS prep, and hopefully you liked it. And just don't be shy about letting me know, letting Dr. Julie know, letting Coach Plunkett or Coach Matt know. And we're doing it for you guys. We want to gauge it towards that audience. So if there's things that are interesting to you, let us know. Thanks.
All right. Thank you.